Share the Lord's word. It's I don't know if we. I mean, I'm just gonna talk about myself. It's challenging, to say the least, to share God's word. Because you really gotta make sure that you get it right. You know, and then like I grew up in this church, right? So I know the scholars that are in the audience. I learned from several of you. I'm still learning now. So it's but you know, to God be the glory. Let's open in a word of prayer. Lord God, we're just thankful for this day. We're thankful for another opportunity to just be in your house, Lord, to just come to you with everything that we have on our shoulders, Lord, and as we think about what's happening out in the world, Lord, and even in our own personal lives and in our own circles, Lord, we pray that you'll just continue to be with us, watch over us, guide us, Lord. Allow others, you know, despite these weird times that we're in, allow others to still see God in us, Lord, that they themselves will see and know that there's something different about that individual, something different about us, and it will at least lead them to question what that is, Lord, knowing that it's you at the center of all of this, Lord. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for the program today. We thank you for Good Tidings, Lord, and just where we are, and all these things we just want to bring to you in Jesus' most holy and precious name. Amen. The title, so my notes are progressing. I always talk about my notes because it's notes management. So as you can see now, I, you know, have progressed from the multiple papers that I would have, you know, and I now just have a pad. So I feel like it's a little bit cleaner, you know, as but God, you know, it's an ongoing effort to, you know, continue to get better. And we're going to hear about that a little bit today, right? The title of this message is Your Comfort is Not God's Comfort. And I'm going to say hashtag because it's Youth Sunday, right? So hashtag comfort zone. So when a young person, youth person, I still consider myself youth because I get to be here on Youth Sunday, so I'm youth. I'm part of that. And usually when a person makes a statement, you know, so it could be like, you know, Good Tidings Gospel Chapel is a great church, and then a young person will say hashtag, you know, it could be Brethren Assembly. You know what I mean? Because it's related to the same thing. So the hashtag is going to be comfort zone now. We're going to start off in Genesis chapter 11, verse 26. We're going to the beginning. We're going back. All right. And I'm in the New Living Translation, but I can read off of the screen since, you know, it's in front of everybody. So it's Genesis 11, verse 26. Help me out, guys. All right, I'll read from the Bible. Okay, so once again, I have the New Living Translation. So it's verse 26. It says, after Terah was 70 years old, he became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Then verse 27. This is the account of Terah's family. Terah was the father of Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran was the father of Lot. But Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans, the land of his birth, while his father Terah was still living. Meanwhile, Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. Milcah and her sister Iscah were daughters of Nahor's brother Haran. And Sarai was unable to become pregnant and had no children. One day, Terah took his son, Abram, his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and his grandson Lot, his son Haran's child, and moved away from Ur of the Chaldeans. He was headed for the land of Canaan, but they stopped at Haran and settled there. Terah lived 205 years and died while still in, I'm going to say Haran, I'm going to correct myself. Now we're going to go to chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you." This is the Lord's word, and I pray that he add his richest blessing for his name's sake. We're going through, like, so as humans, as individuals, you know, we will go through great lengths to achieve comfort, right? Or it could be our comfort zone, right? And the thing is, that's something that doesn't change. We'll, as we get older, you know, as we evolve and, you know, and get more mature and so on and so forth, we are always continuously looking for different ways to have the comfort, to achieve our own comfort, right? So I'll give you an example, right? I'm a 6'2" guy, right? And when I'm traveling, you know, through the airport and I'm picking like my airline tickets and so on and so forth, I go straight to, you know, I'm a JetBlue and Delta guy. So even more space seats for the extra legroom, or, you know, the Comfort Plus for Delta, anywhere, you know, the emergency roll, you know, because I refuse. If I could avoid it, I will pay the extra money to sit in a row with more space, more leg space, right? So, you know, I just don't have the choice, honestly. Now, the other thing, as of recent, I've been picking up a lot of YouTube videos, and I watch a lot of like small documents and docuseries because it's usually business related. So like Yahoo Finance, Bloomberg, you know, Forbes, like they put a lot of like information out there for you to like look at about different businesses that's out there. And I find myself now, and this is like recent, like within like the past 6 months, like I, instead of like listening to the radio, listening to music, when I'm by myself driving, I will have one of those playing, you know what I mean? So just listening to it, because I just find it interesting, you know, like just how a lot of these businesses are doing things and accomplishing things, right? So I'd like to try to educate myself on that. And now it's moved over to the gym. So like I'm on a treadmill, and if it's a 12, 15 minute video, I would prefer to watch that than listen to music, because it's just easier for me to, if I'm on a treadmill or a bike, to like watch a video like that while I'm working out. It might be weird, but like it just works for me, right? Now, we could get really extreme with what comfort looks like, right? In corporate America right now, there is extreme lengths being sought after for comfort. It's three words: work from home, right? The pandemic caused this in a big fashion, right? Now, it's getting to the point, I just like, so there was like this young lady who just started at my job, and you know, she's going around meeting everybody, having coffee chats and stuff like that, and she just moved to New York from Virginia, right? She came over from Capital One. Trevor, you might not like this story. She came over from Capital One, and at the time that she started, everybody was still working from home. We were making our way out of the pandemic, right? And then, you know, the company sends out this like mass email to all of the employees saying, on this date, right, everybody should be in the office from like, I think it probably would, it might have been like Monday to Thursday, right? So the day comes and nobody shows up to the office. Can't make this up, right? So time goes on, right? And then the CEO of Capital One sends out this mass email to the whole company saying, look, on this date, all right, we're looking for all of the people, all of the staff to come to the office to work, right? So time goes on, and that day comes up. When the day comes up, nobody shows up to the office. That's how extreme this is. So now, let's look at verse 26, right? And that is this page. So verse 26, this is now we're learning about Abram. We all know him more formally as Abraham, but I'm gonna try to stay consistent because his name is Abram right now. And it says, after Terah was 70 years old, he became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran, right? And I love how much detail we get into Abram's family. And from verse 10 all the way up to 26, in this same chapter, we get information about who all of his ancestors were that led up to Abram being born in verse 26. And you know me, so like I actually did the math. I'm not sure if it's correct, but I calculated in those from the verse 10 to verse 26, I calculated 290 years, right? This is 10 generations, right? So in verse 10 is who it starts off with, which is his name is Shem, right? And at that point, it's 2 years after the flooding was over, right? And this goes, and he is Abram's seventh great-grandfather, right? So this is like his great-great-great-grandfather, right? He grows up to be 600 years old, right? The full span was the 290 years, so almost 300 years. And the cool thing about this that I think is really, really cool is the majority of his ancestors lived at the same time, right? So they were all, like a lot of them were alive to see each other several generations after they were born, which was really interesting, right? So then we read in verse 27 and 28. So this is the account of Terah's family. Terah was the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran, and Haran was the father of Lot. But Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans, the land of his birth, while his father Terah was still living. So now we get information about the location of where all of these generations live. We didn't hear or see anything about them moving around, right? So it's safe to at least say, based on what the word tells us, that they were pretty much in the same area and in the same city the entire time for 10 generations, right? Now, can you imagine the family reunions? Like, my family, we do one a year, right? But they were all in the same city, so they probably were able to do several of them throughout the year, you know, for whatever reason. But there's no mentions of family up to this point leaving the area, right? All that to say, now let's go to chapter 12, verse 1. All that to say, here's how it starts. I love how it starts. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your native country, leave your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. So, just look at the severity of the situation, right? Now, this is like I said, this is like 300 years of Abram's family being in the same area. So there's no, like up until very recently, and we're going to touch on that in a second, they were all there together, no one moved, everybody was like within arm's reach of each other, right? And then here we see God shakes things up, right? And the reality is, when God comes into a situation, right, he's coming to help us, he's coming to fix things, right? But the interesting thing with us is like, when God shows up, we want him to do it in the way that we feel like he should fix it. But God is coming in with his own lens, right? And he's looking at the bigger picture of the whole situation. And in the midst of that, he can shake things up. He will break the wheel that has been running and turning the entire time. And we learn and we see what that looks like in a second. And then I love in this, because now he gives that instruction, right? He gives that instruction, and it's going to make him uncomfortable. He will entirely be out of his comfort zone. 1,000%, right? But listen to how it ends in verse 1. And go to the land that I will show you. So if you came and told me and asked me, Ron, Brother Ron, give me the directions to Madison Square Garden, I can give you those directions right now. But I'm not going with you. You know what I mean? Like, I can give you the directions. You know, it's Sunday. Like, today, I'm going to definitely go home and take an amazing Sunday nap after this. So I can give you the directions, but I'm not going to be accompanying you on that trip, right? But I love how God gives us the assurance that no matter what, he has gone there. He said, it's a land that I will show you. So he has knowledge on the area already, right? He knows this area. And he's telling him to go there. And I will also be with you all the way up to that point. So he gives us that assurance. This is the style of God. This is what we see in several different examples throughout the Bible. Now, so like, if we recap, right? Abram is being asked to leave his country, right? But God was looking at the whole picture, right? He was looking at it through his lens, through his insight, right? And we're going to hear about that right now as we go to, so to get a little bit more detail about that, we have to jump really quickly to Joshua chapter 24. And it's fine if we don't get it on the screens. I'll read it to you. We'll be here for a second. And we get insight. Now, the cool thing, especially when you're preaching about Abram or Abraham, is other leaders in the Bible often talk about what happened in the old days. Now, this in Genesis was considered to them the old days. This was years before, like, Joshua was around and several other leaders, so they will quote them and talk about them because that was the scripture that they had to reference. Like, the Old Testament was the scripture, right? So Joshua, in Joshua 24, and we go to verse 1, right? And I'll read it for you. Joshua 24, verse 1. So then Joshua summoned all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, including their elders, leaders, judges, and officers. So they came and presented themselves to God. So he is the leader of Israel at that time. If I remember correctly, he was going to be dying soon. So he gives a message to all of the leaders of Israel, right? And here's what it says. Joshua, in verse 2, said to the people, "This is what the Lord of God of Israel says. Long ago, your ancestors in Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River," right? Getting a little bit more detail about where they lived. "And they worshiped other gods." This is Abraham. This is his family. They worshiped, it says they worshiped other gods. So, you know, I'm a part of YPM, and 2 weeks ago, right? We were talking about, you know, you see in the Bible how God wants to be like a refiner for all of us, right? So I'm borrowing this from Ricky, because this is something Ricky shared, and we ended up talking about it in YPM a few weeks ago. And the process of refining silver and gold, right, is very interesting. It's something that requires a lot of care, right? And you find in what I learned later on, Rick, was this is in several different areas in the Bible, right? But in this particular instance, he's saying, to refine gold and silver, usually it's like a rock, this dirty rock. It comes from the earth, right? And there's a whole bunch of stuff around it, whole bunch of stuff. And to get to the final product, so the big piece of gold or the silver that we see in stores and stuff, you have to pretty much put that stone or rock into extreme heat. Like, you have to, like, burn that thing, because that's how you get all of, well, the refiners will usually use the term impurities, right? So when you think about how God refers to us, right, he's saying that you all are precious. You all are precious metals, like precious metals. And silver and gold was a big deal in those days, right? A big, big deal in those days. And he's saying that that's us. But I will come in and refine all of you to get rid of all of the impurities that comes pretty much with all of us, because we're dealing with flesh here. But I can be that refiner for you, right? So in this situation, this is pretty much what God is coming into as he's approaching Abram, right? He knew the whole situation. Now, in Genesis, it only gives us the information of he just told him to leave the land. But coming into the situation, he knows the full picture. Like, I know what your family did. I know what your family does. I know what you do, right? So now I am asking you to leave that area, right? And a lot of times in life, this is something that we have to deal with, right? Like, if we are to get to our best selves, we have to leave our comfort zone, right? Right? The thing is, like, sometimes when God has to refine us, right, it's not that we're in agony and in pain all the time. Sometimes we're feeling really good about where we are. We're feeling really good. And God is still saying, look, I am going to come into this situation and I'm going to show you what I have in store for you. And I'm promising you, your comfort does not compare in any way to my comfort. That's what the Bible is teaching right now. So let's go into Tuesday Bible study mode really quickly. Let's go into that really quickly. Time is already gone. So we're going to jump to Genesis 11, verse 30. We're going to go back to Genesis 11, verse 30. Lost my spot. Not good. All right, so 11 verse 30. But Sarai was unable to become pregnant and had no children. One day Terah took his son Abram, his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, his grandson Lot, I'm skimming through, and moved away from Ur of the Chaldeans, right? Then it says, he was headed for the land of Canaan. We know what Canaan is. That's modern day Israel now, right? That was the promised land. But they stopped at Haran. In other versions, it's with two R's to show differentiation from the brother and the town. So this Haran is not talking, it's not the same as the Haran that we see in verse 29, right? It's literally a location. They stopped there and settled there, right? And then verse 32, Terah lived there for 205 years and died while still in Haran. Now, the interesting thing, right? We're going to go to verse 1 in chapter 12, right? Look at how it starts. The Lord had said to Abram to leave your country. And I thought that was really weird that he said, it's mentioned in past tense. Why would it be in past tense? I thought this was like he appeared to him or in whatever form of communication, texted him, whatever, and then he just left. You know, that, like, before studying this, like, that's what I thought had happened, but that wasn't the case. And to get a little bit of information about that, once again, we have the privilege of seeing other scholars talking about what happened in this situation with Abraham, because they studied what happened in these days, right? So we're gonna jump one last time, to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, and we're gonna start at verse 1. Acts chapter 7. All right. Verse 1. All right, so now this is a deacon. His name is Stephen, right? Respected man, very much like the Stephen we have here, right? Stephens we have here, right? Great person, right? He's in a bit of a tough situation, but we won't get into that at this point in time. But it says, then the high priest Stephen, this is verse 1, the high priest asked Stephen, are these accusations true? Verse 2, this was Stephen's reply. Now listen to this. Can't make this up. I'm reading directly from the Bible. Brothers and fathers, listen to me. Our glorious God appeared to ancestor Abraham in Mesopotamia, which is now, at that point in time, Ur of the Chaldeans. That's the same place, right? Appeared to ancestor Abraham in Mesopotamia before he settled in Haran, right? So Abraham left the land. This is the part we just read. So Abraham left the land of the Chaldeans and lived in Haran until his father died, then brought him here to the land where you live now. So what we just, the connection that we just made, right, is God appeared to Abram, told him, as we read, to leave his land and head towards the land that he has for us, right? He didn't mention the name, but we know it is Canaan, right? But in here, in this verse, we're learning that he didn't do it right away. He waited several, he waited several years. He didn't do it right away. This is Abraham, right? Waited several years, went and lived with his father because his father led him. His father told him to go with him, right? Led him to a separate place. And if you look at the maps from back then, like it was even further. A further distance to where Canaan was. But he took that longer journey with him, led by his dad, right? And stayed there until his dad died. Then he went to Canaan. You can't make this up, right? So it's kind of interesting because we see like us in situations like this because we get instruction. Sometimes we know what's good for us, but we don't do it right away. Amen? It's only me? Okay. Right? And it forces us to question how far, how long are you willing to be in your comfort, to be in your comfort zone, right? As opposed to what God has in store for us, right? It forces us to ask that, right? Now we're going to go into what does God's comfort look like in comparison to what he had, right? And this is how we're going to close. So we're going to go back again for the last time to Genesis 12. And this is our favorite part of that chapter. This is what we love to refer to and talk about. This is it, right? So we'll start from verse 1. But this is like the best part of this story, right? For Abram. I'm doing it, you know. But we'll start at verse 1. The Lord has said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. Right? This is the part we've been reading, right? Now, we just learned everything else, right? He didn't go right away, right? He was living amongst people who were worshiping other gods, right? Now, look at verse 2. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. This is the refinery process that God had for him, right? Verse 3, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All families on earth will be blessed through you. We talk about it. We talk about it, you know, especially us black people, we're talking about it a lot now. Generational wealth. Generational wealth. If you go to any wealth management firm, there's tons of them out there. JP Morgan Chase, Oppenheimer, you have Bank of America, all these, Merrill Lynch, a lot of these places, right? Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley. None of these banks that are out here, these are the people who are essentially, they own the world. BlackRock, all of these people, right? None of these people can offer you the generational wealth that is mentioned here. It doesn't compare. Not even close. Think about it. From then all the way up until now, we're still seeing what that looks like. Now, here's the interesting thing. As I close, right? I don't see this as a one-off. I don't see this as one example. This is an example. But I don't view this as something that he only was willing to do for Abraham. I don't see that. God is coming to us and saying, look, and the thing is, like, the way that I picture it is like, you know, God told him, like, leave the land, and he didn't listen. So he just sat there and waited, which is something God does a lot with us. He just sits there and waits because you're going to do, my plan is going to happen irregardless, right? Like, no matter what, whatever it is that I want to happen is going to happen, right? I'm trying to work through you, right? But I could do this on my own, right? But he wants to work through each and every one of us, right? So we see examples of the amount of patience that he has as well, right? With us, for us, right? And ultimately, we see that, and then the thing is, like, when you learn about, like, just his resume, right? It's his background, worshiping idols. He didn't follow the instruction right away. And then he mentioned this to Abram, who at the time was married to Sarah, who was not able at that point in time to give him children. She couldn't get pregnant. So the thing is, like, God's plan is not always gonna make sense, right? But he's still looking for us to follow him because he wants to see that leap of faith. But ultimately, in the end of it all, God's comfort is way better than anything that we can imagine. And the reality is, he's just waiting for us. How willing are we to leave our comfort zone, to leave our comfort, to be better? What are we willing to do? We can look at just our own individual practices. Wow, it's 12:20. I'm getting off the stage. We're looking at all of Brother Greenwich is gonna beat me up. All right. We have that, and then, but it, like, as a church, we have to question what that looks like. We have to, right? Or how comfortable are we here at Good Tidings, right? Can we go there for a second? We have people who show up from Europe several times throughout the year, but often before the service is even done, they walk out, right? Where do they even come from? How do they find Good Tidings, right? This has been happening for years, right? And why don't they stay? I have a theory that, I don't know, this is just my biased opinion, but I feel like as a new believer, it should be the one of the best places to go to is a brethren church. Because we have a practice of, at most speakers, almost every speaker I've seen come up here, and in other assemblies, they have the practice of referring to the Bible to preach their message, right? They are teaching from the source. I'm sure we could think of several people, more than one pastor on TV who has access to millions of people. When they start their message, they're going to read, God is good, and then they preach for another hour, not referring to the Bible at all. I just have my own biased opinion. Like, as a new believer, we should, like, a new believer should definitely start off here at a brethren assembly. My personal opinion, you know what I mean? But I'm not gonna prolong. Sunday school is supposed to start, and other Bible classes. So, word to God, how comfortable are we, and is it too comfortable? How do we get here? How do we get the fellowship hall full from 10 o'clock to 12? What can we do? Are we stuck in our pattern? Or, you know, because, like, and the thing is, like, there's certain things that, like, make sense. Like, and it gets me excited. Like, I would talk back and forth with Ricky, and he would tell me all the time, like, God loves Good Tidings. Because, not to put people on the spot, but, like when I talk about the young people, like, the young people is who's supposed to be next, right? I'm just going to call it out. There's more mature people here than young people, right? If you go to Sunday school, it's like maybe 10 of us, 10 kids max, right? But then there's certain things that happen, right? Like, YPM, we just got a new youth leader, Melissa, right? The super powerhouse Crystal just showed up, tells us to run a basketball clinic. By the end of the summer, it's like 30, 40 kids that don't even go to Good Tidings coming to the basketball clinic every week, right? Some of them were able to translate into actually coming here, right? So it's like, there's certain things, subtle things that you see that are happening that will make me think, okay, this could work, but are we too comfortable? May the Lord add his richest blessing to this word for his name's sake.